You're listening to The Arms Room on the Vets on Media Network.
All right, you're on The Arms Room with Glenn.
And Brian.
Oh, man, Brian. John is not here. He's off in the land of wonderful times.
Are you O-manning my baby face?
Dude, you know what? You mocked me when I shaved in January after SHOT Show. Too much beard douchebaggery at SHOT Show, so I had to shave.
And I went to that event this weekend, and it was a phenomenal event.
It was.
But I'm telling you, so many beards. So many. I'm just going to say this for you listening on AFN or for you veterans listening, be proud of what you did in the military. We were not all operators. We were not all SEALs.
And okay.
We were all infantry. And it is okay. And if you don't know how to shoot a handgun, please don't come on my range and give lessons to other people because I will embarrass you in front of them.
So, Brian, why don't you tell us what you did this weekend?
All right. So, this weekend at Cowtown Ranges, we had the Shockwave in the Desert event. And I'm just going to say, it was an awesome event.
1,073 is the final total.
The final count. I was going to say they had 1,000.
People in attendance.
Absolutely. And it was
a lot of people.
Great event. It was well organized. A lot of vendors there. Letting you shoot their stuff on their own ranges. Mm-hmm. And then they had a public range going on, which I was RSOing. And that was a lot of fun. Seemed to be a great turnout. A lot of people were like, this is cool. I get to come here and see all the new swag. But I also get a chance to, you know, put some rounds down range. It had some steel targets.
A lot of cool stuff out
there. Some dueling trees, some cool stuff down range to shoot at. Somebody brought some car doors. Some people were setting off Tannerite. But there were many, many, many bearded boyfriends teaching girlfriends how to not hit targets.
Let me show you how this is done, baby.
And I actually had one guy come out, and there was a group of people, and I'd kind of been working with them, and they're getting better. And this guy showed up with could not grow a beard, but had one anyway. So he had kind of the Abe Lincoln thing going on, no mustache, and it was patchy, so you could tell that it was, you know, this is where hair grows, so I'm going to keep it.
Dude, Mason is sitting right there, boy.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, I've accepted that I can't grow a beard, and I don't try to grow a beard.
And he doesn't try. And so this guy's giving lessons because the girl's having malfunctions. And I said, you know, I'm watching you shoot. I'm seeing your malfunction. I really think it's a grip issue. Why don't you firm up the grip? This guy chimes in. Yeah, that's what I was about to tell her. Sure you were, pal. So 10 minutes later, I look over, and he's giving instruction to these people. And then he's like, here, let me show you how to shoot that handgun. And he shoots a magazine downrange at a dueling tree. Now, granted, his grip was good. He didn't malfunction once. He also did not hit the target one time out of 15 rounds and started telling them how he is a firearms instructor. This is, so literally in the middle of conversation, I walked over, handed the whole group one of our business cards each while he was talking. And I just said, hey, guys, we do a lot of training at this range. If you're local, come on down.
Everyone's an instructor.
And and then obviously you got my text message later and I asked you, I said, so when you decided to keep the beard off, was that because of SHOT Show? And you said, yes. I said, perfect, because I'm shaving tonight. I was done.
Tell you, man. Tattoos and beards.
Tattoos and beards.
If you don't have one, you're not legit, I guess.
Total operator.
Darn it. Well, you need full sleeves. You got to have them all the way down.
Yeah, you got and bright colored. And
So I showed up at Shockwave late. Went and ran Tough Mudder. We had an awesome team this year. We had
seven
year. Guys, man.
Yeah.
Half of them vets, half of them not. Seven guys on our team, which is more than double our normal three-man team that we've had for the last 3 years. So it was awesome. And the Arms Room, happy to say our sponsorship worked out beautifully.
We were able
to sponsor a veteran thanks to Independence Training, TCB Holsters, and Redwire Gear. We were able to sponsor a veteran and get a veteran out there running with us.
Full cost covered.
Yep, full cost covered. We covered everything for him. And it was very cool. It was very cool. Otherwise, he might not have had an opportunity to do that. And it was great camaraderie building opportunity for him. So it was a lot of fun. Tough Mudder was cool this year. It was different. They changed the course completely from the other years we've done it. So instead of being done on the west side of the East Mark, it was done on the east side of the East Mark. All new courses or all new obstacles.
Everything?
Everything. Well, the ones that were repeats were updated.
Okay.
So there was only one obstacle that I was like, I hope they don't bring that back next year. And it was called King of the Swingers. And you climb up on like this maybe 12, 15-foot platform. And there's a steel rod that extends down towards you with a, sure. with a steel T-post. And you have to jump off of this platform, midair, grab this T-post, swing the T-post, which is connected to a pivot.
Right.
Swing the T-post over to the other side, let go, ring a bell that's about 15 feet above, and then drop into the water.
Oh, and I know how you love that.
It was all the combinations of things I don't enjoy. So, well, you know, yeah, that one I don't care if they don't bring that one back. But everything else was great, man. They had more water obstacles this year, which was nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice. It was warm. So I was happy for all the water obstacles.
They're probably listening to the show right now, and they'll be like, increase height.
Exactly. Oh, King of the Swingers doesn't like that. Let's put it up to 20 feet. So, yeah, it was fun. But, yeah, I mean, there's you know, I don't like it. What's odd about that is I enjoy the water.
Sure.
I enjoy jumping from large obstacles, and I love heights. But when you put all three of those things
something
together,
about jumping
I don't know what
water.
It is about all that, man. It just makes my stomach hurt, you know? So I do it, but so I don't like it.
I had a bad experience.
So, but Tough Mudder was great. Went from there over to Shockwave. Shockwave is phenomenal.
It was an awesome, you know, awesome
it's
event.
Only going to get better. We've got some great ideas about how it's going to get better. Got to mention Arizona Armory out there. They probably had the most awesome vendor area set up. They had tons of tripod mounted.
Everything was tripod. I got to tell you, as the chief RSO of the event, I actually talked to the lady that was heading up the Arizona Armory. I said, you know, I really appreciate the way you guys are running your range. Haven't had any issues, haven't had any complaints, and I haven't had to come over and say, hey, guys, you know, let's keep it on the firing line.
So. And you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars raised for Wishes for Warriors.
Oh, my gosh. What a great cause. What a great
so
event.
So you got to look up Shockwave in the Desert.
Good raffles. Lots of good prizes. They gave away a shotgun.
They gave away tons
of stuff. AR. I know
we
donated some med kits.
I think 60-something sponsors. Yeah, we donated a few of our med kits. There were companies who donated guns, gun parts.
They gave away an EBR.
They gave away an EBR.
Yeah, that was the final raffle of the day.
A Hex Mag was there, and I picked up a couple Hex Mags. I'm looking forward to this weekend and trying to break those things. I think they're really cool.
I'm excited to test them out.
Yeah, this weekend at the carbine class. Excited to test those. And there was a lot of people there buying them, and so far, I mean, I was kind of impressed by them. It's tough to make a magazine better. You know, does it reliably feed ammunition into the weapon system? Then it's a good magazine, right? So it's kind of tough.
Does it do it more than once?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes, because obviously we've had some magazines that are junk. We've had
magazines that ended up as targets by the time it was over. Like, I'm done with these.
We'll see how these things are bulletproof. Shockwave was awesome. Check them out, shockwaveinthedesert.com. Also, check out Wishes for Warriors. Great foundation.
Yeah, they had a couple of vets down there doing their thing, and they had a triple amputee go up to the long range and put some lead down range at the long range target.
Courtesy of U.S. Optics and Shooter Zoo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they were all there, and it was very cool to see. I know by the end of the day, as a veteran who's not amputated in any way, shape, or form, I sometimes get frustrated at an event like that with people going, oh, thanks for serving, thanks for saving. And you know, by the end of the day, he was like, I've shaken everybody's head.
Right.
It's like the officer, all the privates hate saluting the officer because, oh, I got to salute them all. But I always say, think of the officer.
Right.
He salutes every one of you guys.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I was just like, hey, man, thanks for coming out. And
at Tough Mudder, we saw a guy, I don't know if he's a vet, I didn't stop and talk to him. He just kind of had that look about him, so I'm going to guess he probably was.
Mm-hmm.
But double amputee legs, he had this bike that he hand-pedaled. It was three wheels, and it had these huge, massive, like, off-road mountain bike tires. And he's pedaling, and I'm like, I'm pretty much a sissy if I even get tired today.
Right. Well, you
know what I mean? Like, this guy's out here hand-pumping the bike.
And then climbing the obstacles.
And doing whatever else. Yeah, I mean, you know.
13 miles this year, right?
It was actually less than it was. Right. It was only 11 and a half miles this year.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. But it was definitely less than before. But lots of fun. So check out both those organizations.
And Shockwave's coming back next year to Arizona.
Coming back next year, yeah. We're really excited to have them back.
I will definitely put forth my time and donate time to that again. That was a great cause, and it really was a great showing, great event.
We also have to mention real quick before we get with our guests today that for all you guys that went out and panic bought M855. The joke's on you again. How many agains is that? Anything. How many times are these people going to panic and freak out and buy stuff?
I'm going to tell you, though.
Again. A thousand times.
You know, I'm just going to say Sig Brace. I'm just going to say Sig Brace. We'll see what happens.
Quit panicking and driving up the cost of things, please. Drive me bananas. I still should have sold all my M855.
Yeah.
Could have rolled in here in a Camaro.
I apologize because I said hold out.
You screwed me, dude.
I really did. It was only going for $1 a round, and if it would have actually got banned, you could have really made some money.
Dude, yeah, I would have rolled in here with a brand new quad cab truck. All right, so in the studio with us today, we have Wilderness Tactical, which I have to ask you, do you guys go by the Wilderness or Wilderness Tactical?
Wilderness Tactical is the name of the company, Wilderness Tactical Products, and we go by the Wilderness.
Okay, cool.
It's so much quicker.
So we've got Ralph and Sam in here from Wilderness Tactical, and of course we love Wilderness Tactical. We've been wearing their belts for years. I don't think there's one instructor we have that doesn't have a Wilderness belt, other than John because he's trying to build his own, which is working out really well for him. He's finding out it's a little harder than he thought it was going to be. But he's making it. It's cool looking. So far, he's got the look down.
It's very cool. He's got the look down. He's tactical.
kind of one of the things we talked about before was Wilderness Tactical really has the original instructor belt. So let's get started by talking about what is Wilderness Tactical and where did you come from? Why this belt? Because this is not originally designed to be like a gun belt, like it's used for so much today. Is that right?
Well, it was probably a dual purpose belt when it was first designed. If you want to, I can go right into
it. Go right into it, Ralph. Please. Let's hear it.
What happened was we had a mountain climbing and backpacking store organization. We got some sewing machines and I made some equipment that I thought would be easy to make. I didn't have a lot of background in it. And then we were doing expeditionary mountaineering and things like that. So, you know, it's a pretty good background in mountaineering. As time went on, because of the machines, we'd have hunters, police officers, sportsmen, shooters, because I was a shooter at all times, and, you know, past military, everything. They would come in and want things made. And we got so many of those in, it wasn't long before I decided I liked them a lot better than the people that just did backpacking and mountain climbing. So we just kind of moved everything over that way. The belt was made because I wanted to make a belt. And I wanted to have a way to stand on the side of a cliff or a fire tower or something like that and instruct tactical rope, which I did for the SO at the time, without having to wear my entire mountain rescue rig, which must have weighed 30 pounds with the carabiners and ascenders and everything that we had on there, so I could just clip into this belt. So thought, well, before I do that, we'll try some things and we'll test them. So we tried the side V-ring and found out that that's not a very good way to do. Because they will ooze and come apart after a while. So we developed the ability to use the 1¾-inch integral V-ring parachute buckle. And we were getting those and making 1¾-inch belts. But I didn't like the cadmium finish. And so we started buying the buckles without the finish on them and then having them coated and went to Rogard, part of Coating Technologies Incorporated, the Robard people.
Sure.
And we had them coat some things, and we built the belts, tested them. Once it got to where I liked it, then we went to 1½-inch, and the 1½-inch now is the most popular, by the way.
See, and I'm a big fan of the 1½-inch because I'm not a khaki or BDU pant everyday kind of guy, and I like the 1½-inch because it's again, it's stiff enough to hold my holster and everything, keep everything in place, but it's small enough to fit in my blue jeans.
Sure. Because we developed it to be double, then it made a good weapons platform.
Yep.
And even when we were backpacking and mountain climbing, I always had a weapon on me in the store. It used to scare the sheep that would come in there, but they got to where they could live with it.
Well, I'll tell you why I like the belt so much. I like it because, one, and I think chief reason above all, is it's an original belt. You know, in this industry, it is so difficult to make something, as you know, to make something and not have it copied 1,000 times. And, you know, what do they call it? Imitations is most, you know, the best.
Sincerest form of
flattery or whatever.
Doesn't make you a lot of money.
It doesn't make any money, but it does make you feel good, I guess. Well, thanks for imitating me, stealing my ideas. But the thing is that, one, it's the original belt. Two, it's made in Arizona. And, you know, we love Arizona companies. We're based in Arizona. I think in two weeks from now, we're doing a whole Arizona-based. Even though we're heard internationally, we try to drive as much business to Arizona as possible. So we're actually doing an Arizona-based show. We have like a list of, I don't know, gosh, it's got to be 50 or 60 companies by now that's all firearm-related stuff in Arizona. So
well, y'all, thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it. You know, and the other reason I like it is because it actually works. You know, it works really well. It's never come undone on me. It's never slipped loose. As I was telling you guys before the show, I had a belt I wore every day for 8 years till I finally had to replace it because the buckle started to kind of rust. And even when the Velcro wasn't on, it didn't really seem to matter. It seemed like the Velcro was only really there to hold that flap in place.
That's exactly right.
Other than that, it was not actually needed, really. And so, I wore that belt for a long time until, like I said, finally started to rust. I'm like, I should probably get a new one. But other than that, I mean, the belt is great. I can fly with it, which is great. I can go anywhere I want to with it. It's a great belt. We were talking about on the show, you know, or before the show, I mean. I have actually rappelled off it, not in an emergency situation, just to see if it would work. It's not as comfortable, obviously, as a real harness. A little bit easier to flip upside down. You got to watch out for that. But it works. In a pinch, it would actually work. If you had to hook on and self-rescue or hook on and get emergency rescued or something like that, it would actually function. So,
sure.
You know, people talk about like an emergency preparedness or emergency response thing. This is a good belt to wear. And as someone who carries a gun around with me everywhere and backup mags, and when we're teaching a course, we're strapping other stuff onto our belts, other mag carriers or dump pouches or anything like that.
Med kits,
yeah. It holds everything up.
Sure.
It's never got uncomfortable. I've never been like, oh, this belt isn't exactly the way I want it to be. It is an awesome belt. I mean, that's the best thing I can say about it, is it does exactly what it's supposed to do.
That's a really good point. I've had other tactical belts on, and you know, you get to sitting down in a chair like mm-hmm. this, you're readjusting the buckle. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that absolutely every time I put this belt on. Once it's on, it's there. I never had to adjust a buckle because I was sitting in an awkward position. Or they start to come loose, yeah. And you're all day long, you're playing with your belt, you know.
Like all your issued stuff, which is always, of course, top of the line gear.
Made but by those,
only the best for our boys.
Only the best. You know, those kinds of belts come loose a lot. And I've had a couple other brands, you know, that we've worn for training and stuff that start to come loose. So, I mean, that's why we like them. So how did that all come about? I mean, how did you turn into making such a great belt? You kind of mentioned where you started, but what was the real
proof? I made it for me. There you go.
There you go. Oh,
yeah. In fact, out of all the stuff that we have, I generally made it for me. The first belt I ever made, I was just wearing, and, oh, where'd you get that? Well, made it. You make me one? Well, yeah, I guess so. This is where the story came about Overkill Never Fails. Remember we mentioned that?
Great story.
Awesome. Guy wanted one, and I said, this is how much it's going to cost. And I think it was like $24 at the time,
you know, years ago.
Yeah. Many years ago. And he said, oh, that's really a lot for a belt. And I said, well, we've sewn it this way, we've done this, and we've made it to where it isn't going to come apart. And it, you know, you may come in half, but it's not coming apart. And they said, well, that's just overkill. And that's when I said, overkill never fails.
And thus the tagline was born.
Yeah, that's we've been using that ever since. And he did buy the belt, by the way.
There you go. Yeah, and that's my favorite.
He has
point.
Bought them, you know, from time to time because he has grown. The belts have worn out. He's grown.
we do that.
We have to.
By the way, he's still whining about the price, but he does it for fun now. Right.
See, and that's the funny thing when you're telling that story. That for what this belt is, it is not expensive.
I don't think it's an expensive belt. What's the MSRP on the 5-stitch now?
$47.95.
So for less than $50, you've got yourself a solid belt, and then you've got a 3-stitch, mm-hmm. a little bit more flexible.
Right.
Those are
$42.95.
$42, yeah. And then you've got the new CSM.
Yep.
And that's $52.95.
That's a fun story, too.
It's got plastic. So tell us about that, because we have an instructor.
We like fun stories.
John Pinnix, my normal co-host, he swears by that belt. He loves that one because he loves how stiff and reinforced it is. Yes, he does.
Well, some people really need that.
He loves it.
At one time, some of the leather belt makers were putting metal strapping, and they'd push it in there, and they'd have a thing that you couldn't bend for anything in the world. But we started out by making some belts because these come in 100-yard rolls, and we get thousands and thousands of yards at a time. So with a 100-yard roll, I can make a 149-foot belt, okay,
right,
based on the way the formula we use to make it. So we got some really big people. I mean, we're talking about 600-pounders, 700. And they were spending $200 and $300 on a belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then their mass hanging over their stomach would rot the belt and rot the buckle and everything. So we came up with a belt for them. But then we noticed that in the back of their pants, if you notice sometimes somebody will walk away from it, you'll notice that their back belt loop pulled a big notch in the belt. Well, that was a big problem with them. So we put plastic in there.
Okay.
And that stopped that. So our Forrest and Valerie Richardson, our people that did a lot of our public relations at the time, said, well, let's advertise that. What should we call it? I didn't want to call it the huge
fat guy belt.
And so I just thought, I went back to thinking about the guys that made the leather, really good leather belts with metal in them.
Yeah.
Combat Shooters model. And, of course, it stuck. Right. And the name makes people like it.
That's I think that's why John likes it. Honestly, sure. He doesn't care if it's more rigid.
Disruptive tactical.
Battle bubble protection belt.
That one. And it works for IDPA shooters, too.
Sure.
You know, that real stiff. And they just... that one's growing in popularity.
Well, and like you guys said too, I can go to Walmart and spend $50 on a belt at Walmart and replace it pretty much every year, or I can buy this one and have it until I get too fat for it.
Yeah, it's literally a lifetime belt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And, by the way, we do make one. We talk about the coating coming off. We make one with a titanium buckle.
Yes. So, actually, we work with a guy... host him a lot, named Craig Douglas with Shivworks Training Group. And he loves the titanium model because it's so lightweight.
It's lightweight. It has been known to go through metal detectors.
I think that's why
they got real anal about making you take everything off, including your fillings out of your teeth.
Yeah, right.
And everything. So,
that's another reason he liked it, because he flies a lot for training and he loves the fact he can go through metal detectors.
Plus, it's the most rust-proof metal made, with the exception of mercury. And you know how disappointing that can be to try to form into anything. So.
And the titanium, it only drives the price up a little. It doesn't.
No, it's close to $100 now.
Yeah.
For that.
So
the titanium has really gone up. I remembered our titanium people whining to me about having to go on food stamps, and so
they dinged us with a buckle price increase. Yeah. We don't even offer it to dealers anymore.
We just had to do it. Our margin isn't real great on it anymore, but we like it so well that
but it's still available.
It's still available and always will be available
as long as we can get it.
Yeah.
And then you also have the frequent flyer belt.
Frequent flyer, yeah, sure.
And that is, it has like the two D-rings or something, right?
Right. At one time, we made a thing that was a kind of a sporty belt. Remember, there's people wear belts before they carry guns.
Right.
And so what they wanted was a belt that looked nice and looked neat, that would go well with their pants, hold their pants up and everything like that. Do something with all those belt loops. So
forget about the main purpose.
Yeah.
So we had, being a climbing company, a thing called rappel rings. Have you seen rappel rings?
I have.
They're a piece of aluminum rolled into a donut, gets about that big, 3,500-pound test. We put two of those on there, and they would weave it through.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit costly because those rappel rings cost us nearly $4 each. So it made the belt kind of expensive, but people still liked it. And there was no place to connect into it to rappel or to use it as a life support belt. So that was a moot point.
Right.
So I started looking at different ways to use other materials in that in a ring. And so we finally thought we'll just buy a die, have some manufacturer of plastics. They'll make these for us. We have them made 1.5 inches, 4.5 inches, 3/4 inches, and 1.25 inches. We make 1.25 inches. Frequent flyer too.
Okay.
So in fact, I may be wearing one, and it's the same way, and it's carrying stuff that I wear.
The belt's made exactly the same way as the instructor belt.
Yeah, it's sewn and stitched exactly the same way, but of course it has no life support use at all, but it'll carry your gun very well and feel good. And that, we called it the frequent flyer because you could take it to the airport and...
Because it was plastic.
Because it was plastic, and I was sure that some airline was going to sue us for that, but... We've been doing it for so long now, and nobody said anything.
Let's not give them any ideas.
And those are very cost effective because they're less
They're very expensive. And then we make an underbelt now, by the way, too.
Underbelt, what is that?
Well, remember the guys with the duty rigs?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They'd wear a belt, and they didn't want a big buckle under it, so they Velcroed.
Right, and then you turn the Velcro out to hold the rest of your gear up on it, too.
Well, they're doing keepers now.
Okay.
But we can still put Velcro all the way around the outside, and I presume you guys have heard of Dave Spaulding. He's a gun writer and everything. Yep. He's been testing them, and we've just gotten started with this. In fact, our biggest hurdle right now is to figure out how we're going to size it. But we've got them made out of the Wilderness webbing, one layer.
Okay.
And then scuba webbing. Have you ever seen that? It's like flexible fiberglass.
Okay.
So, you know, it's thinner and harder. And so we've got that too. And that way you can wear it under something without a big bulge pushing in on your stomach. So that's kind of everything in the belt area.
Cool. Well, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about why the belt. Kind of Brian hit on it, like, okay, we've talked a lot about the belt, we've talked about what it does. Now, why should the average everyday person carry a gun or not carry a gun? Why are belts so important to everyday life? You know, it's something, it's a piece of apparel I feel
we only
severely
have
overlooked.
45 minutes.
That's right.
Because it takes longer than that to explain why everybody should.
When we come back, Ralph's going to give us a Cliff Notes version of why everybody should have a good belt. So we're with Wilderness Tactical. We'll be right back after our break. You're listening to The Arms Room.
Everyone's going to need an attorney at some point in their life. I'm no different. Hey, everyone. It's James from Vets On. Whether it was my last will and testament before deployment or my ongoing custody battle for my children during my divorce, I needed help, so I lawyered up. If you need help, I urge you to contact Capstrom Law Firm. Capstrom Law Firm in Springfield, Missouri services clients throughout the state in criminal law, personal injury, and family law. With over 13 years practicing law, Tom Capstrom understands both law and court procedures and how stressful they can be. Let Tom Capstrom Law Firm and his dedicated staff take the stress and worry out of a difficult situation by calling him today. We feel so strong about the work that Tom and his staff are doing that he'll be a monthly guest on the show. Tom is a veteran and a listener, for God's sake, so you know the guy is solid and will fight for you. Give Tom a call today by calling 417-864-0552 or email Tom at capstromlaw.com. And don't forget to tell him that Vets On sent you.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising.
If you or someone you know is looking for a new job or career, you need to visit the pros. National Career Fairs at ncfairs.com. National Career Fairs hosts over 300 career fairs a year nationwide. The events are free and give you the perfect chance to meet some of the top employers in your area face-to-face. To find the nearest career fair to you, visit ncfairs.com. Again, that's ncfairs.com. What are you waiting for?
Veterans served us, now it's time we serve them. As a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as a current military member deployed abroad, I would like to take a minute of your time to tell you about Patriot Hills of New York. Patriot Hills of New York is a nonprofit organization providing support to veterans and their families. They partner veterans in need with over 65 health and wellness organizations, community groups, as well as philanthropic foundations providing no or low-cost services. They've helped over 400 veterans through confidential referral services, assistance with veterans issues, employment placement, as well as educational opportunities. If you need assistance or just want to help veterans by donating your time or services, contact them at info@patriothills.org. Again, that's info@patriothills.org. Visit patriothillsofnewyork.com for more information about their services or how you can donate. Our veterans deserve no less. We can give it to them, and you can help.
All right, you're back on The Arms Room, minus Brian. think Brian had to hit the latrine, and he is indisposed. I don't know where he went. Oh, there he is.
Listening to you talk to me. On the other side of the locked out door.
All right. So we're in the studio today with Ralph and Sam from Wilderness Tactical. We've been talking about where the belt came from, the original instructor belt. Not just the original instructor belt. Like, you guys call it the original instructor belt, but it's not just the original instructor belt to Wilderness. It is the original belt. Like, all other belts that are like this are copies of the Wilderness belt.
And perform as such.
Thank you. Yes.
So, I mean, it's not just like the original belt, like it's your like you know, original product. It is the original belt. And it's built, you know, I just kind of go back to it for a second. I think it's important that people understand, like, this thing was purpose built. This isn't just a belt for holding up your pants. I mean, while it can be used for that, certainly, we talked about the frequent flyer, that would be a great one for that. But this is more than just that. There's so many variations and capabilities of the belt, from rescuing to holding up your gear to, you know, one of our friends, Jason over at TCB Holsters, who's a great friend of ours, and he uses your guys' belts as well a lot in his demonstrations, because he has what he calls the total carry system, right? And that's a holster, a good gun, and a belt. Like, that's so important. That's something he sells his clients on all the time. You gotta have all three things. You can buy a great gun and a really expensive holster, and that's all well and dandy, but you hook it on some $15, $20 crappy belt from Walmart or wherever, some dress belt or something. Yeah, it's not going to work.
Looking like a John Wayne quick draw.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're not, you know, that's why I personally think concealed carry is so uncomfortable for so many people, is because they just don't have the right equipment, whether that be the holster or usually what we find in our classes, the belt. So in addition to carrying a gun, why should the average person who doesn't carry a gun or doesn't go high angle rescue stuff or doesn't even really venture in the outdoors too much, just the average person who doesn't do any of the high risk activities that we think this belt's really great for, why should they get a really good belt, specifically a Wilderness belt?
Well, you just go back to original belts. There are some belts made by people just to look good on pants that are made around the world, usually by some... usually by somebody with a really well-known name that makes purses and other stuff, and those belts could cost $200 or $300. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, people buy them because they look good. So looking good is one of the reasons. Filling up those empty loops is another reason, and holding up your pants would be a third. Other than that, I can't think of a reason to wear a belt without a gun. So let's go to the gun. The belts, these belts, and some others, you know, there's a couple of companies that copy our belts fairly well, not well enough, but fairly well, that you can actually put an inside the pants holster on. Mm-hmm. And because it's so steady, you don't have the thing moving around. And I like the inside the pants holster. That's all I wear. Mm-hmm. Is because you always know where the gun is.
Right.
Glenn and I are both the same way.
Yeah, so, we both carry the same way.
If something goes wrong, you can put your hand right on it, and you don't have to go.
He's
did
quick.
Did it move around?
Did you see that? He's quick.
He's quick. Still there. Yeah, I think he's as old as he told
us he was. For 127.
Yeah, for 127, he's still moving.
So anyway, you want to have some strength, and you want to have the ability to know that everything is there, it's comfortable, it sits there, it does exactly what you expect it to do all the time. One other thing is, for instance, when I go hunting, of course I wear the belt. I wear the instructor belt, and I carry a couple of lengths of tubular nylon, which you guys know what that is because mm-hmm. you've done some climbing and stuff, mm-hmm. tied with a water knot, the right size, and you can make it into a figure eight, take a carabiner connected to the V-ring mm-hmm. on your instructor belt, and now you have a climbing harness. Mm-hmm. It isn't the greatest one you've ever had, but it certainly will do a good job. And then if you find yourself at the bottom of something or the top of something you want to get down, put your 100-foot, 3/8-inch rope around a tree to the center, rappel down. You have a couple of prussics with you and everything, and you can go back up and, you know, you can do self-rescue, use it for that, but the belt is going to be the
That's
the basis,
a great point. Growing up in hunting in the Midwest, you know, we use a lot of tree stands. It's much denser forest than you have out here, and we hunt from tree stands climbers. You know, those things fail from time to time. Plus, you want to be safety strapped in anyway.
Sure.
How cool to just hook up to your instructor
belt
instead of worrying about carrying an extra harness and an extra strap and rope. And that's a phenomenal
There's a lot of urban survival courses across the country that feature that. And, you know, one guy, he does a whole video on bailing off of a parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because what if everything goes to hell? You know, where are you? And
probably
you
know, at the mall.
You don't want to be the disaster, you know,
right.
thinker, but it could happen. And it's just one more thing that's constantly on you that can help in this situation. And as I mentioned, we have people come in and say, I fought off a javelina with it.
Great stories.
Right. Yeah. Muggers. They had knives, but he was in Ecuador and he didn't have anything but a belt and he flung that off and it'll hurt.
You got a big solid buckle, you know, and worst case scenario, of course, I mean, you can always use a heck of a hand wrap if it goes to needing to start socking people. Tourniquets. Yeah. It's a great application for that.
Tourniquets are back now.
Mm-hmm.
They went away for a long time.
Sure. You know, terrible idea.
Verboten, but, but now apparently it's the way to go. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's so many things that you can press a good belt into service with, from self-defense to emergency rescue to, you know, end of the world scenario, whatever, zombie apocalypse, whatever it is, to fighting off an animal, dealing with emergency medical stuff. I mean, and of course, carrying equipment, carrying guns, carrying whatever heavy load you might have to carry around. But
and I think I'm always going to go back to the price. We were talking before the show is I'm a bang for the buck kind of guy. And I think these belts are very reasonable. And even your frequent flyer, your double D-ring belt, your dress belts, when you're talking about a belt that looks nice and serves all those purposes for people that aren't necessarily like us, who aren't rock climbing or rescue climbing or carrying guns, you still have a really nice belt that is a lifetime belt for less money than you would pay for it from some big name, because they're not doing it for a purpose other than making money on a belt. Whereas you, like you said earlier, made this belt for yourself and it serves a purpose.
And you know, it, like you said, it's great that it's an original, the original that came out of his head 30 years ago or so. But if it cost $300, none of us would be able to afford it.
Sure.
So
I wouldn't have one.
He's done a really good job of, I mean, we had a $3 price increase in the last 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our prices go up and, you know, the whole, the gas and then
everything
goes up.
Everything goes up.
It's still under $50.
And it's still under $50.
You know, an interesting point is that not only do you have the concept that you're developing when you come up with a product, but if you're going to be making them. Now, remember, we don't run to somebody and say, can you make this and sell it? And no, we make it and sell it ourselves. We market it to our dealers. We market it on the internet and in our showroom.
And a lot of people
forget
that. Now,
the big deal is once you make it, if you're going to make some more, you have to come up with sewing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
This is the big deal, because if you don't have a way to make them well and fairly rapidly, then the price goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the same every time. There's some big name companies out there making tactical gear that are, you know, a lot of it is quality stuff, but a lot of times it's slightly different every time.
A little out of spec. This pouch is not quite as big as the last pouch you bought.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you can spot him on occasion. He's gone through the sewing, the manufacturing area, and he'll spot something. He'll say that's not right. That's not what I want. That's not enough. And out it comes. It's starting.
If it's finished, it becomes a second.
34 years of business. You're still doing quality checks.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
He's still
That's
there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I have an office just off the sewing bay.
Mm-hmm.
My office contains me, two sewing machines, computerized sewing machines. Because Giles Stock and I make slings together. It's something we've done for 25 years, and we have fun doing it, and we argue and everything. And then I have a Lazy Boy and a flat screen TV.
The Lazy Boy is covered in multicam, by the way.
Yes.
And so I'm constantly out there, and I can listen to the machines, and if I don't like the speed or something, I'll just go take a look. And we have really good sewers, and I don't have to say too much to them, but once in a while I want to pick something up and look at it and say, it's almost perfect. It's a second.
And the tag and doesn't so say
we
put
it
in
the
Indonesia.
Second box, and we put on their Y, and we put a big red line on it so that it's not, you know, resold as a first class one. But it's safe. It may be not perfectly, you know, aesthetic, but it's safe. Or otherwise, it won't go out.
Well, I think that customer service is a big thing that we have to hit on too, because I've had students that have come into Wilderness because they saw our belts, we told them about, they wanted to go in, and here's a couple stories I've got. One guy went in, had bought a belt from a store, it was the wrong size, and he went in and said, hey, what can I do? And whoever he talked to, I don't know who it was down at the shop, they
I'll be right back.
Fitted him.
I'm sure it was me.
It probably was.
It was a good story.
It was a good story. It was you? I think it probably, in fact, I think it was you, sure. Sam. Now that I'm thinking, sure. It was definitely
it
you.
It was definitely Sam.
But, but he came in and you fitted him. For a new, like, hold on a second, let's get out, let's fit you. It wasn't like, well, that side doesn't work, try this one, try that one. It's like, we want to make sure you're happy before you leave. You know, whatever it takes, we want to make sure you're happy. We had another student where Velcro, like my old belt, had worn off, and he brought it in, and you guys stitched some new Velcro on for him, and ready to rock and roll.
We don't make the Velcro. If we did, it wouldn't have to be replaced.
Right. But, you know, we rely so much on what people say about us, because you don't see half-page ads and magazines and stuff, but what we can do is make sure everyone's happy and that they know we care. Because if you get on any forum and you look for a belt thread, you'll see our belt. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it is, but if you call them, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to do. And then it's easy to do when people like you and those customers say, they were just nice. Like, you could call them and they would help you.
You could actually walk in
into
a local business, of course, Arizona, which is a big deal for us. An Arizona locally owned business made in America that still appreciates customer service.
Yeah.
You should stop making belts and start doing business classes teach other people how to do that.
It's important. It's important to reiterate to everybody that no matter how much Matt and I try and convince Glenn to sell out so we can make more money, he refuses to do so. So when we have you guys on the show, we believe in your product.
Yeah,
and we wouldn't be telling everybody on the radio show that this was a good thing if we didn't truly believe in it.
I think I've tried to convince you. He's my dad. So I've tried. I'm like, go, Dad. Make more money. Sell out. Never happened.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Never happened.
What can you do, right? Just stick to your guns. All right, well, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, Wilderness does, we've talked just about the belt, because I love the belt. I think the belt is so important, but there's so much other great things you guys make. And we're only going to have about 15 minutes or so to talk about it, but when we come back, let's cover the other stuff that you guys make, because you make some really awesome products. So we're with Wilderness Tactical in the studio today. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to The Arms Room.
Veterans served us, now it's time we serve them. As a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as a current military member deployed abroad, I would like to take a minute of your time to tell you about Patriot Hills of New York. Patriot Hills of New York is a nonprofit organization providing support to veterans and their families. They partner veterans in need with over 65 health and wellness organizations, community groups, as well as philanthropic foundations providing no or low-cost services. They've helped over 400 veterans through confidential referral services, assistance with veterans issues, employment placement, as well as educational opportunities. If you need assistance or just want to help veterans by donating your time or services, contact them at info@patriothills.org. Again, that's info@patriothills.org. Visit patriothillsofnewyork.com for more information about their services or how you can donate. Our veterans deserve no less. We can give it to them, and you can help. Everyone's going to need an attorney at some point in their life. I'm no different. Hey, everyone, it's James from Vets On. Whether it was my last will and testament before deployment or my ongoing custody battle for my children during my divorce, I needed help, so I lawyered up. If you need help, I urge you to contact Capstrom Law Firm. Capstrom Law Firm in Springfield, Missouri services clients throughout the state in criminal law, personal injury, and family law. With over 13 years practicing law, Tom Capstrom understands both law and court procedures and how stressful they can be. Let Tom Capstrom Law Firm and his dedicated staff take the stress and worry out of a difficult situation by calling him today. We feel so strong about the work that Tom and his staff are doing that he'll be a monthly guest on the show. Tom is a veteran and a listener, for God's sake, so you know the guy is solid and will fight for you. Give Tom a call today by calling 417-864-0552. or email Tom at capstromlaw.com. And don't forget to tell him that VetsOn sent you.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising.
If you or someone you know is looking for a new job or career, you need to visit the pros. National Career Fairs at ncfairs.com. National Career Fairs hosts over 300 career fairs a year nationwide. The events are free and give you the perfect chance to meet some of the top employers in your area face-to-face. To find the nearest career fair to you, visit ncfairs.com. Again, that's ncfairs.com. What are you waiting for?
You're listening to The Arms Room on the VetsOn Media Network.
All right, you're back on The Arms Room. We've got Ralph and Sam from Wilderness Tactical in the studio with us today, and we've learned a lot about our favorite belts, the five-stitch instructor belts, which is mostly what I think all of our guys wear, except for John. He likes the CSM because as a combat shooter model, and let's face it, he really wants to be a combat shooter.
He really wants to be a combat shooter.
But that's when they shoot back.
That's right. You know, this is two-way ranges.
Somebody's got to talk to him.
John has been on plenty of two-way ranges.
Yeah,
he's been on. That's I think why he likes the CSM. He didn't. He was in infantry, so he didn't get a CIB. So because of that,
he got a CSM.
He got the CSM. He's not here, so we're gonna make fun of him.
Basically the same thing.
He's basically infantry.
And he probably can't listen because he's not at NTC, so we could really run this rant.
Yeah, he's not listening. This is his first day of NTC, I think. All right, so let's talk about some of the other stuff that Wilderness does. We've spent most of the show talking about belts. So there are so many other things that you guys do. One of the things I originally saw from Wilderness that made me realize you guys did things other than belts was the Safe Packer, which I thought was a really cool idea. You know, it's a little pouch that's non-tactical, and you could originally, the way I saw it, was like putting on a seat belt or wearing it on your side, putting it on the side of a purse, something like that, where a quick open up of the buckle, you got access to your firearm. So it's kind of a concealed carry capability without looking like a Timmy Tactical kind of person. Like, yeah, I always love when people carry around like Maxpedition bags and they're like, I'm concealed carrying in this. And you're like, yeah, I know.
Like, everybody knows.
Everybody knows that you're concealed carrying in your Maxpedition bag. Or you're in your dude, you're a big ripped dude with a fanny pack on. We know what's in there. It's your steroids and your gun. No, but...
bullets and juice, baby. Bullets and juice. Right.
But there's other stuff that you guys do as well. So you got the Safe Packer, slings, what else?
We have a rifle case. Mm-hmm. The newest is a range bag. Mag pouches. I brought the speed loader carriers, shoulder straps. I mean, AccuBags. It goes.
Yeah, packs, bags, and things like that.
From a personal standpoint, let's talk about the range bag for just a second. Mm-hmm. What's that going for?
What's the range bag going for, you ask?
Less than a late model used car.
Excellent.
$295. The range bag is $295.
Really?
Yeah. And it's obviously the last range bag you'll ever need.
Sure.
It takes someone a day to put it together.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would definitely be looking into that.
It really does. It's got some nice stuff. We've designed it with a Velcro loop on the inside. Okay. I'm moving like this. Can that thing see me?
It'll see you.
A picture is worth 1,000 words.
Sure.
I can use 1,000 words. But,
As you know,
they'll recognize your heart attack from there.
Well, we have Velcro on the inside of it, on the inside of the main bag, and then we have Velcro on the inside of the pocket that flaps open.
Okay.
And then we have attachments that can go in there. Pockets so that you can put a first aid kit, a pocket for a little tool kit, with a combat optic tool in it.
Sure.
And things like that, screwdrivers and things. Then you can also, we make a lot of magazine holders and
ammo holders
that you can just stick in there.
So again, another product made by somebody who's going to be using it himself.
Yeah, I made it for me.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I would definitely be looking into one of those for you.
One of the things too that we did was we said let's order a range bag everyone likes.
Yeah.
A really kind of mid priced. I believe it was $80. So we ordered it, and he'll say, if I can't do it better than this, I'm not going to do right. it.
Not worth yeah. it, sure.
So when we, about the third or fourth open of the zipper broke. And he right. said, okay, well, I can do this one back.
I don't know about Glenn, but I go through a range bag probably once a year.
And, oh, okay. Just so once a year, rubbing it off for $60
right,
or whatever.
Right, where $295 for the next 5, 10, 15 years sounds like a great Absolutely. Deal to me. Again, not a bad price on something that's going to be the last one I buy. So
yeah, and it's, I mean, I have to say it's really gorgeous.
Yeah, there's so many.
It's a good
well, that's bag. Important to me.
Sexy bag.
Sexy bag. Yeah.
Now, there's also the Sonoran CCW shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I happen to be wearing one with our name on it now, and all
you,
we did.
You guys make those?
Yeah. Really? Make them right there.
That's phenomenal.
We don't make very many. What we do is we get enough material. We find a material that we like. We get enough to make 30 to 100 or so shirts, and we sell them only on the internet and in the showroom.
Okay.
The Sonoran shirts, the requirement is that, and it's mine, that it be something that is in the Sonoran region. Now, keep in mind, we also have the Gulf of Baja California with sure. fish in it and coral and stuff right. like that. You've got hibiscus. So we can make some things that really look like Hawaiian shirts.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is I wanted two pockets. The reason for right. that is a lot of times during the summer, you wear a tank shirt or T-shirt with a shirt open. Have your phone in one pocket, it goes, skews.
Yeah.
Skews. Then, and so I want another pocket, and I happen to carry a couple of flashlights and things like that. If it's a small gun, you can put a mag in there.
Because in those pockets, those aren't just big open pockets.
Right.
They have a little divider in them.
Well, there's a divider because what we do is we have an inner pocket that holds the phones or whatever you want, and then it's sewn on first, and then the rest of the pocket is flapped down, so then they flip it up, and that was a fun thing to design. And then they flip it up, so it's on both sides, and then there's a pen pocket. There's no vent in the side, although I like vents, but if you're carrying in an exposed holster...
We don't want to show that off.
You don't want to show that off, yeah. Yeah. It's made a little bit bigger around, a little bit longer.
And there's no tag in the neck because...
Right, the tag's down here. You see that?
Nice.
Tags are down here because I don't like them in the neck.
I agree with that.
I get to do things that way. So that's how it happens. So we'll get in and we don't want to pressure people, but if they see a pattern that they like, they ought to get it because it's going to be gone.
And we won't make it again.
And we won't make it again.
And it's another product that does not make you look like a tactical Timmy.
Exactly.
It just looks like a button-up shirt. Yeah. And some of them, I was just looking at the patterns online. There's some pretty cool patterns. I mean, these are patterns where if you're wearing one of these patterns, you're probably not going to get pegged, except for the multicam one. If you're wearing the multicam one, you might get
the
pegged.
The multicam is a cam shirt.
Yeah,
okay.
But, we keep that.
My favorite, and I am going to buy that again, if they ever make it again, is called Giraffiflage.
Giraffiflage.
They say, like if they ever make it again.
I wish I'd have worn it. It's a bunch of different colored giraffes. But because of the spots on the giraffes, if you squint your eyes or in low light, it's camouflage. And you go away. Most of our stuff will do that.
Right.
Most of the things we make, no matter what it is. This is a little different because these are for shows.
You got to stand exactly 3 feet away and cross your eyes and stare long enough and then everything, the picture comes to life.
We have a lot of fun with those. And we go up to, 3X?
Yeah. See, and that's another one I'm a fan of because I'm just an old beach bum. I have several Hawaiian shirts in around. You know, I'm here at flip-flops today. And so that
John was here.
Oh, I love it.
John's favorite
I love showing up at John's house in flip-flops. Hey, buddy.
He hates flip-flops.
Do you guys make a small?
Natural.
No, we don't. We encourage
how about a child's large?
Large?
Do you have a child's large or a youth
medium
or an adult small?
Medium might work for you, though. I think a medium would work for you.
Poor Mason. I told him at the Shockwave, I said, if anybody gives you a hard time about being an RSO, just take your hat off. He's got the hair.
I've got that hairline of an old man, but
you
the body
like,
of a child.
You look like a Smadge's like really angry son. That's what you look like. So there's a lot of products on here too that you don't necessarily make, but you sell. And I think that's an important thing too, because you're kind of offering, like if you've got a gear bag, well, you've also got the stuff to go along with that gear bag. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a safety and first aid section where you've got some first aid stuff. I mean, you mentioned like, hey, you can put a first aid kit in your bag. oh, and by the way, here's a first aid kit you can use, or here's some safety equipment you can use. Sure. I like the luggage marking tabs. How basic is that? Yet nobody puts a nice high-vis marking tag on your own luggage, and there you are at the little carousel or the bag pile or whatever you're trying to find your luggage. Yeah. Something like that is pretty simple. So,
and it's made with what we call monster Velcro. You just can't pull it apart. I mean, you have to get maybe pliers to pull it, so nobody's going to rip it off your bag and put it on theirs.
But the stretchables, there's a section on stretchables, and those are ammo, spare ammo and battery holders. I actually brought you a few of those.
Oh, awesome.
So they're kind of a no-brainer clip-on. So they're not, you know, lithium batteries aren't rolling around the floor of your truck and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a lot of little stuff.
There's all kinds of cool stuff. The stuff sacks, the micro packs. Honestly, I'd never even seen these things before.
Yeah.
So there's so much cool gear that you guys have on your site that you make, and I like the fact it's kind of like John Pinnix, our co-host. Typically, he runs his own gear company. He does nylon gear, mostly like med kits and things like that. And the one thing I mean, that all started because after his last deployment. Basically came home and said, I saw this guy with this med pack that he had made himself on the small of his back, and I want to make one of those. And so he bought a sewing machine, and he learned how to sew, and he learned how to make it.
That's how you do it.
Sounds familiar.
Bam, there it is. And now he's making all kinds of stuff. And so I like companies that have that idea where it's like, why did I make this? Because I'm using it, because I like it. It's not, you know, there's way too many companies that we've certainly talked to between SHOT Show and industry thing, events and all that, where it's like, well, how come you make this product but you're using something else? You know, that's not, that doesn't really coincide with what you're doing here. So I like that about the wilderness, that you guys actually, you know, all this came from your head, basically, which is awesome.
That head.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a little scary.
Only if you go in. Everything coming out's fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we don't know what's rolling around there that you haven't released yet.
You're right.
Might be terrifying. But anything else you guys want to say about Wilderness Tactical before we wrap up? Any?
Well, you brought up the safe packer really quick. That was done for mountain rescue.
Okay. That was done out of necessity, so he wouldn't bang up his gun.
Okay. So you could carry your gun and ammo and stuff like that. And then one of our people used to carry the weapon in the case into a restaurant, and so we put a hand strap on the top and it just went from there. So
nice.
You know, the same thing.
And you guys are in Phoenix, right?
Right. We're in Phoenix. 1608 West Hatcher.
So for anybody who's in Arizona who listens to our show, you should definitely just go check them out because you guys also have a showroom.
Yeah, we do.
We have a showroom.
So you can walk right in. You can look at all this equipment that we've been talking about. You can get sized for a belt. You can check out the gear. There's really no reason not to go check them out. And again, we'll be talking a little bit more about Wilderness in 2 weeks on our show, when we're talking about all the Arizona companies.
Local Arizona companies.
So definitely make sure you check Wilderness Tactical out and the website, thewilderness.com.
Right.
Awesome.
And that's it.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our pleasure. I'm really excited to have learned so much about the equipment that we've been using for so long.
Like, we really love this stuff.
Right on. Well, what else we got, Brian? Anything else? Yes. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I also wanted to mention veteran-owned.
Yes.
Veteran-owned. Thank you, Mason.
Yeah. So Wilderness is not just Arizona-based, not just American-made, also veteran-owned. Basically, you're out of excuses to not go check out the Wilderness.
Nice.
Basically, you're a communist if you're not buying stuff from the Wilderness. Just throwing that out there. So this is actually going to be our last week in the studio.
Yes.
We're moving to our new studio.
Which is closer to home, so I'm
closer to
excited.
Home. I'm also excited about that. We're going to be moving to our new studio next week, and that's going to be the Cowtown studio. So Cowtown Range is providing us with a new studio, so it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Another expedition of the partnership, so loved.
It's going to be out at Cowtown.
No, it's actually going to be at the Cowtown office.
Why would I have thought that?
Yeah. Why would you have possibly thought that, right? Okay. No. So I wish we could have it out at the range, but no, it's actually going to be at the Cowtown offices, which are not far from the range. Not far.
Would make a much cooler YouTube show if it was at the range.
Yes. Well, we're going to do, and in the next few months, we will be doing more on location stuff. At our last on location that we did with AR-500, where we shot their armor live on the show, That was a big hit.
How much did you like that show?
It was awesome, right? We got to go into their range. They have an indoor range, and we set up their armor, and we shot it.
Such like a nice setup.
5 meters away with all kinds of stuff, and it was a blast. So we're going to do more of that kind of stuff coming up. Next week, we're going to have Peter from Miss Clean of Top Shot fame, and he's going to be talking to us about his cleaning kits.
Right.
The Miss Clean cleaning container that he's used for all kinds of crazy stuff. And we're going to be talking about his Kickstarter and how we can get a new veteran-owned business off the ground. So he's going to be a call-in guest. That's unfortunately, cool. He's not going to be in the studio. But that's what we're going to have on next week. I know our calendar says something different. Last-minute switch. I was just on the phone with Peter this morning, and next week's going to work out really well.
We're all set.
For
good.
So I wanted to put him on our next calendar, but his Kickstarter ends like April 11th.
Oh, really?
So I want to make sure we get lots of movement before that. So other than that, the show, of course, as always, brought to you by AR500 Armor. Check them out, ar500armor.com. They got a lot of cool sales going on right now. Their new mini carriers are out.
Big fan.
We love them.
Big fan.
For all you guys who say, it doesn't cover your gut, shoot me in the gut while we're in a gunfight.
Come and get some.
I'll take six.
Then you'll impress me. All right. So until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.